Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Michael Glasser, president of the Policemen's Association of New Orleans. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Newell. Thank you.
So, Michael, let me make sure, because I said containment instead of sustainment yesterday, so I want to make sure I get this right. Moving to the next phase of this consent decree, the sustainment period granted by Judge Susie Morgan yesterday, when I did not realize this until this morning, that some of the federal monitors were suggesting otherwise, but I think it's the appropriate move at this time. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think it's more than appropriate. No, we've moving into the 13th year of a 6-year consent decree. So, yeah, I think it's more than past time and overdue, as a matter of fact.
What were the objections of the monitors? They were saying what? Do you know?
Well, there was some earlier this in 2024. There was some a little what they call backsliding of some issues, and this is due to their oversight. And this is something, by the way, Newell. Let me mention it this way: the consent decree itself and our ability to perform and comply with it does not change. Okay, the rules are the rules. We're going to be keep doing the exact same thing. Nothing is going to change except the actual oversight. Instead of looking at it continuously multiple times a day for every single thing, it'll move into a periodic issue. They'll be looked at periodically. They'll be looked at quarterly. They'll be looked at as a need arises if a particular incident comes up, and they'll be spot checked. But the oversight is what's going to be reduced. And some of the monitors felt that they needed to continue doing this for some of the backsliding, but we've managed to make improvements in those areas, and the judge was convinced that we're at a position where that oversight can be reduced at this point.
I guess it's fair to characterize it this way. The pressure's on, right? You control your own destiny now as an organization, and you have to prove every day that you're able to do so.
Well, we had to prove it every day and every call. That's the whole point of
right.
What was objectionable about the consent decree. It wasn't the new rules and the new way of doing things. It was the constant oversight. You know, I kind of likened it to every time you get in your car, having to check your tire pressure, check the oil, check the power steering fluid, check the transmission fluid. You don't do that every time you get in and out of the car. You can do it periodically. You can do it when it looks low. You can do it when the time is up and it expires. You can do it, but you don't have to do it every time you get in and out of the car, and that's what we were doing with the consent decree. We were looking at every call, every time, every day. The oversight was just crushing, and now we won't have to do that as often, but the rules, the way we operate, are now embedded in the rules, and that's the way we do it.
What is the reaction of the rank and file been?
Well, they're looking forward to this. Like I said, it's an enormous burden on the supervision, on the front line sergeants, the mid-level lieutenants, and, of course, on the captains as well, and on the bureau that we have, professional standards and accountability. They still have a big job to do to make sure that these things get done, but they don't have the constant federal oversight, and that's the point. It is a relaxation on just what we have to do on a daily basis. But again, we don't do anything differently. We just don't have the oversight.
You know, it's funny. A lot of these consent decrees, they don't go away. I mean, you know, we're entering, as you said, the 13th year. I think there's some that have been on again, off again, on again. And it seems like they never get out of this kind of circular thing with DOJ.
Well, we'll not get out of the consent decree per se. I mean, we'll get out of the monitoring, but the consent decree is now embedded in our department regulations. So the consent decree and the regulations are identical. We have to do that now. And what a lot of people don't realize, and some of the people who are concerned about us going into the sustainment period and concerned about the going forward with the consent decree, this is 12 years. That means that everybody that's hired in the last 12, almost 13 years, has never seen this department not in a consent decree. They don't know any other way of doing policing except what the consent decree says to do. And this is a very young department for the most part because we have such a high turnover. So most of this department has never seen the department that didn't have a consent decree, and now it's in the rules. So this is the way we're going to operate going forward, whether there's federal oversight or not.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what the percentage is. I got to imagine that, like you said, it's pretty high. And basically what you're saying, the long and short of it, is the culture's been developed, it's embedded, and it is what it is.
Right. It's literally half a generation at this point, okay, that this department has turned over, and people here, the overwhelming majority of the department, has never seen anything different. So there's nothing to backslide to because there's nobody to backslide it with. You know, it's all the people that have been hired and are working have never seen a different way.
The only muscle memory is the consent decree way, right? For the lion's share of folks within the organization.
Right. So it's not a matter of trying to reconcile our rules with the consent decree. The rules are the consent decree. That's all those 400 plus paragraphs are now embedded into our department regulations, and that's what they learn when they're in the academy, and that's what we work with day by day.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's pivot from the outside looking in to the inside looking at the inside. Is there something internally that the department intends to do, to your knowledge, relative to this sustainment period?
Well, I believe we're going to revise our disciplinary system somewhat. Again, things that are against the rules are still against the rules, but there is a very, very high administrative burden in addressing those things, and I think they're looking to streamline that down so that it's just easier, faster, and quicker. That we have cases that have gone on for years, which is ridiculous. If
That's
there is
tragic.
An allegation of right, there's an allegation of misconduct, it should be addressed immediately. Number one, if there is misconduct, we want to correct it and eliminate it, and correct it going forward. And if there isn't any, then we want to return that officer to where they belong and handle it that way. Either way, dragging it out for years is not the answer, and that's unfortunately what's happened. And part of that has to do with the fact that, A, we're understaffed, and B, the administrative burden is so high. So the staffing we're always working on, but the administrative burden will now be reduced somewhat. I think they're going to streamline it. There's some plans to do that, and it falls within the acceptance of the monitors in the court. So going forward, I think we're going to see a better plan.
The and I was just curious whether there, because y'all have kind of your own monitors internal, right, that you've had through this process.
We do. We have a Public Integrity Bureau, which, of course, does the actual investigation of allegations of misconduct. And we have what's called PSAB, which is Professional Standards and Accountability. And they're like we used to call them compliance. Just a fancier name at this point, but they're basically compliance. What they do is they make sure that the department is operating the way it's supposed to. And there's constant audits, constant oversight from them, not so much the monitors now, but it will be from them, and their job will remain the same.
Yeah, and they kind of worked hand in glove with the federal monitors historically, right?
They do. They report back to the monitors and what we are doing and what we've done. If there's anything to be corrected, they indicate what's been done for that to their satisfaction. So, yes, that will continue.
To the best of your knowledge, you may not have access to this information. I'm not certain. I mean, some of it's been publicly reported. But I got to imagine that moving to the sustainment period also saves the NOPD a lot of money because all of that federal oversight you guys were actually paying for, right?
And I can tell you it was hideously expensive. Yes, that is correct. And it will save the city a ton of money, and not to mention all the advantages we just talked about. But yes, it was hideously expensive, and that will be reduced as well.
Let's pivot, if you don't mind, to the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street. Just always concerned about the psyche of the men and women of the NOPD. What are you hearing?
Well, it's kind of a broad question. Maybe we could narrow it down a little bit, and I can focus on something.
You know what I mean. I mean, you get the anecdotal stories of, you know, I'm told that the scene was horrific. And, you know, and you go through a lot of years of service. And I know, I think you've served 40 years or somewhere around there with the NOPD. I'm told by some folks that in their 30 years of police service, they've never seen a scene as horrific as that. And obviously that has some downstream implications to the department.
It does. And working on that question, yes. You know, we've all seen, with any degree of police service, we've all seen fatality accidents and serious accidents where people are injured. In some cases, it's unfortunately rather gruesome. In this case, you have 15 people, or 14 at least, in a three-block radius, and it was not pretty. You know, so there's a lot of PTSD that we're trying to ward off and head off, and there's a lot of effort being given to bringing in people to discuss this and give people an opportunity to talk to counselors and therapists, psychologists, and officer assistance program to help work them through it, because a lot of these cops are new. Some of these cops are brand new, and they haven't seen any of those things, truthfully. And even the ones that are veterans haven't seen anything quite like this. This was unusual. So they are doing something on that. It's in full swing. We have people going to that now, and the department's taking some big steps in that.
That's good to hear. I mean, I my own personal experience, and I don't mean I'm tooting my horn, but is when I worked Pan Am Flight 759, you know, the same kind of horrific crime scene to this day, you know, all these years later, 30 something years later, I remember it like it was yesterday. You know,
I was there for that too, so I remember it well.
You know, it's amazing how you can recall the horrific nature of that, you know, and it's like this 8mm video that just keeps going around and around and around, you know, it never ends. And you when you think about it, like just now when I mention it, there are visions of it that I recall, like I'm standing there in Canada looking at it today. And I mean, and a lot of folks don't realize it's much the same thing with police shootings. You know, you get these folks say, well, there's another notch in the belt. That's not how this works. You know, I mean, it's not how it works at all.
There are some things in memory that are pretty much indelible, and this is one of those things.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that they have this support system set up for those guys and women that were on that scene. And obviously we appreciate same. And thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too, Noel. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Michael Glasser, president of the Policemen Association of New Orleans. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.